Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to your latest instalment of the Jersnet Weekly Podcast, hosted by myself, Craig Gray. It's the 10th of August, 2025, and we're here to dissect another woeful Rangers performance in the league yesterday. We are the independent Rangers podcast made for fans, by fans, and all of our content is absolutely free. You can get us over at jersnet.co.uk, where you can access the forum, some great articles, and a wonderful history archive as well. And we're also over on Twitter at Jersnet Online. We're live tonight on YouTube, and we'll be on all of your usual podcast providers in the next day as well. Just before I introduce my guest, I need to give a shout out to our sponsors over at Forest Precision Engineering. They are a subcontract Glasgow-based engineering company, and they've been a big commercial supporter of Rangers for many years. We're absolutely delighted that they're backing your podcast. You can get them over at forestprecisioneng.com. And you can also visit the Forest Precision Executive Lounge, a stunning new hospitality area within the historic main stand. For information on how to book this unique and intimate space, you can email the club via hospitality@rangers.co.uk. Just on tonight, myself with Mr. Alan Rogers. Alan, I'd ask how you're doing, but I imagine it's the same as pretty much every Rangers fan now.
Yeah, good evening. Yeah, pretty grim, isn't it? We didn't expect to be feeling like this on match day two. But unfortunately, here we are.
Yep, we're here again. May as well start with it then. The team selection yesterday, we can't lie. I think it was the selection that 99.9% of Rangers fans wanted, the exact same 11 from the game on Tuesday. But, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing. a few players, I think Ant-Man in particular, I thought he looked a wee bit sort of tired and leggy. Maybe he was just playing a wee bit too much football in the one time. But again, it's hindsight, and we were all crying out for the same team. So,
yeah, well, I can understand the rationale. You know, you keep the same team. It was such an impressive performance on Tuesday night. Maintain the 11, try and get them to keep working on the relationships and everything else, and let the team develop. But, yeah, as you say, I thought a few players did look leggy, Antman in particular. I thought Rothwell looked leggy as well. Suter to an extent. You know, players that gave a lot on Tuesday, played well on Tuesday. But it wasn't a surprise to me that the manager didn't rotate the team. As usual, you know, before the game, you think, well, if he rotates the team, brings in some of these quote-unquote egos that he was moaning about earlier, and then drops points, people will be saying, oh, well, you know, it's these players again. So it's a wee bit of a catch-22 for the manager, I think. But I can understand why he kept the same 11. And ultimately, that it was an 11 that should have been good enough to beat a Dundee side managed by Stephen Presley, you know.
Well, absolutely. And I mean, you get a lot of people saying that it's, you know, just the start of the season, things take time to settle in. That is all true. But at the same time, you need to remember the two teams that were faced in the opening two games, Motherwell and Dundee, could have arguably got all 3 points against us in both games, and they've both been taken over by new managers and new players and new systems as well. I think Dundee tweeted yesterday something like 6 or 7 of their players have never played at Ibrox before. So I understand the whole, yeah, he's just in the door, things take time to gel. But if Dundee and Motherwell can do it on about, I don't know, 1/20th of our budget, why can we not do it when we're playing them?
Yeah, I mean, certainly things take time to gel and show or reach their maximum potential. I completely agree with that. I think everyone rational would agree with that. But we still had, what, six weeks of training? And the basics don't take time to develop, in my view. You know, not when you're dealing with professional footballers of a certain standard. You should be able to see the basics and what they're working on, what the system is supposed to be, what the style of play is supposed to be, and how they're going to, specifically in terms of yesterday, break down these low blocks. Because that's what we're going to come up against in a lot of games. Not every game, but a lot of the domestic games are going to be exactly like that was yesterday. Five across the back, team trying to counter-attack us, team trying to play for set pieces and corners and things like that. And we need to see what the style is to try and break these teams down and capture 3 points. And that's where I think a lot of the fans have difficulty. You know, we had it when Gerrard came in. Gerrard's start wasn't smooth at all, but we could see what he was trying to do with the 4-3-3, you know, and his two sort of more narrow wide men, and then the attacking fullbacks. You could see what he was trying to do and how he was trying to develop. And he got time off the back of that. Whereas looking at that Russell Martin side, you know, trying to pass it around, trying to pass it amongst the back and trying to find pockets of space, you've got 10 guys behind the ball sitting in their own half. There's very, very limited space. So it's an it's a question of, well, how are we going to draw them out and create space in behind them if the team has if the opposition team has absolutely no intention of being drawn out, and we just look completely impotent.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned, excuse me, basics there, Alan. We'll speak about system and style of play in a short while. And by the way, folks, I'm still not sure what this system or style of play is supposed to be. But a couple of things that Russell Martin mentions constantly is aggression and intensity. Now, in my opinion, aggression and intensity are two basics that you need to have, you know, never mind just a Rangers, but just a football player in general. They aren't things that should require a massive amount, if any, sort of coaching to do. You've either got it or you don't. So if the manager's been in for a couple of months, you've got all the pre-season, you've got the qualifiers, we're now two games into the league season. If this squad and these group of players are still lacking aggression and intensity, the two most basic parts of whatever system it is that he's trying to build here, that's a massive, massive red flag for me.
It's something that needs to be instilled in the players, in the, as you say, on the training ground, in the dressing room before the game, in the tunnel even. You get them G'd up and get them ready to really go out and take it to the opposition. And we did see it on Tuesday, we've got to be fair. You know, we saw it on Tuesday against a decent Czech side that could have been a real banana skin. And we saw that aggression and that intensity, and it paid off. But then it just completely evaporates on Saturday. Now, I know some fans kind of level it at the players. I don't think the vast majority of professional players sort of can't be arsed. You know, it's domestic, it's Dundee, I can't be bothered with this. I don't think that applies to most professional players. I think it's simply a case of coming up against a completely different style of opponent that we didn't seem to have any preparation for. Now, I know that won't be the case. Of course, we're prepared to some degree. But from where I was sitting, I had no idea how we were trying to approach that game. Because passing through the lines of a 10-man defence in their own half, camped on the edge of their own box, it's really, really, really difficult.
As in terms of the actual game itself, the first half, pretty lacklustre. I mean, nothing really happened. We had that sort of moment where Gassama was put through and he squared it, and I think Diamandé would have had a tap in if Dessers left it. I was kind of hoping Gassama would have hit a shot because I was thinking it would have been basically the same goal that he scored on Tuesday. Mm. Apart from that, though, there was nothing really. And with, you know, the exception of Tuesday night and to an extent maybe the first 15 minutes against Motherwell, it is a pattern that we're now seeing where we are just not starting games well under Russell Martin. I asked one of our guests a few weeks ago when I was on after, I think it was the Middlesbrough game, where, okay, it's friendlies and you maybe don't want to overanalyse them, but the two friendlies we started very, very slowly. We grew into the game and eventually, you know, came back in it and got the equalisers. It was very similar again yesterday. And again, my issue is one thing seeing it in pre-season, but, you know, this is a month later. We've played five proper games now and the same patterns are still kind of there.
And that's exactly it. You know, even the games we won, you know, Pilsen at home was probably the one you'd say was a really good performance. Panathinaikos home and away weren't good performances, but good results. But Motherwell and Dundee, we don't create much. You know, even against Pilsen at home, we didn't create much. We did well to take our chances and scored some good goals, but it's not like we were peppering the opposition goal. You know, it's not like we missed sitters or the opposition keeper had the game of his life. Like that. We're really not creating much. And as you say yesterday, that chance in the first half, it was actually probably pass of the match. It was from Jeff Day up towards Gassama, you know, on the inside of the fullback. Really nice ball. And Gassama did well. But other than that, we didn't really trouble the keeper too much. And that's a real concern. And because we're supposed to be playing this fast, aggressive attacking style, you know, open, free-flowing football and things like that, we've absolutely not got to that point yet. To the extent that Dundee really kind of looked comfortable yesterday. We've got to be honest about that. There was very little panic in the Dundee defence. They coped with pretty much everything that Rangers threw at them. And that has got to be a severe red flag, in my view. Because, as I say, I know it's not easy to break these teams down when they're so defensive and tucked in. But we've also got to remember, they hit the post twice in the first half from set pieces. You know, I know one was offside, but they eventually scored from a set piece. You know, that was their game plan. That's what they came to execute. And they very nearly almost got 3 points out of it. And Rangers' reaction to the opponents playing that way was what, really? I saw stats on Twitter that John Souter last season averaged about 60 passes a game, and this season so far he's averaged over 100. And the vast majority are to Giga. And that is the definition of passing for passing's sake. I think it was yesterday. I think it was Diamandé made 20 passes. He was on for an hour. That's your centre mid in a game. You're dominating the ball with 80% possession, and your centre mid's making 20 passes. And Cameron was only very marginally better. It's a real, real problem that we're just very static with the ball, rolling it around to each other and not making any progress up the pitch. And there'll be a whole plethora of reasons for that, but it's the sort of problem that Russell Martin needs to solve quickly. Otherwise, the wheels could come off this season before he has time to think.
No, I completely agree with that one. In terms of the midfield, you mentioned a couple of them there. I mean, the issue that I've got with the midfield is that there's nobody in that midfield that can just grab the game by the scruff of the neck and change something, do something out of the ordinary. That is what great Rangers teams in the past, they've had someone that can do something. Gassama, he's really the only player that you could think maybe will be able to do something like that at the moment. And to be fair, I actually thought he was pretty good yesterday. And he obviously won the penalty. But out with him, I mean, you're just like, it's almost as if this, whatever system it is he's trying to implement, it needs to work perfectly. Otherwise, things just go completely pear-shaped and there's no way to get back on. I mean, maybe Asgard is supposed to be that guy, but obviously he's injured or whatever's happening with him, the new Jordan Rossiter. And he's got a Scouse accent as well, so, But, I'm just really not sure. The midfield is too static for me against teams like Dundee and Motherwell. And someone like Joe Rothwell, I mean, he's okay for me, but okay is never enough at Rangers. I mean, he had a great moment yesterday where it was like Maradona, where he ran through and skinned like the whole Dundee team. And then when it comes to the point where he should be shooting the passes, and that's the issue. It's like it's just ingrained in their mind, like pass, 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 pass. They don't know when the right moment is to just like pull the trigger.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday was another game where we ended up changing the whole midfield.
Yeah,
I think Russell Martin might have done that. Yeah, it's in every game, and that's a real red flag as well. But, I mean, Rothwell is, again, I agree with you. If I'm honest, I thought the first couple of games, I thought he's okay. He's even his way in. He's kind of neat and tidy, but I don't think he's anything more than that. And again, it's another one by 60 minutes. He was blown out his backside, and he had to get taken off. He doesn't look like he's got his fitness yet, which after six games is a bit of a concern. But he's also one of these guys that, in a game like yesterday, we don't need him. If we're honest, we don't. Again, that Maisie run aside, he didn't add anything. He struggles to build up through the crowded midfield. And you remember years ago with Brahim Hindani. Hindani was a really good player, and Walter trusted him and used him in Europe, in really big games in Europe. But he didn't play much in the league because we just didn't need what he brings in the league. And for me, Rothwell's kind of in that position at the moment. Neat and tidy passer, fine. But against a 10-man defence like we had yesterday, we'd far be better with Raskin in there. He's got far more dynamic, much better movement, much more athletic. And, it just seems like Rothwell's going to be the man in there. And I just wonder about that. If that stifles our play a little bit. And then Diamandé hasn't got going this season at all, you've got to say. Again, he's playing on the wrong side, which I don't like. Cameron's come in and done relatively well, but again, we've got to tread carefully. This time last season, we were all talking about how great Conor Barron was, just because he had a bit of energy and a bit of engine about him and a bit of industry. We've got to make sure we don't do the same with Cameron. Again, he was busy enough, but again, that didn't really affect the game, in my view. He had a better game on Tuesday, of course. So we're still trying to work on getting this midfield balance right. And if you don't have the midfield balance right, that's exactly what you get. Centre-halves just rolling it about to each other needlessly and inviting pressure, which is exactly what we got. And it's really alarming because we are going to come up against better teams relatively soon with better midfields than us and more dynamic midfielders than us. And if that's still not quite functioning, then that could be a real problem because attackers will burst through onto your defence pretty quickly.
I mean, it's just so boring watching it, And like in terms of the system, look, I said after the Motherwell game, I've not got a clue what he's trying to do. I think you could see it on Tuesday, what he was trying to do. And to an extent, as much as the Panathinaikos games weren't brilliant performances, I thought the Gassama goal with a great working for the back and then with the finish at Ibrox to make it 2-0, maybe that is what he's trying to implement. But those kind of moments aside, domestically anyway, which is your bread and butter, you need to win these games. You know, it's like the exact same as Clement, exact same as Beal, exact same as Gio. They're just passing the ball up at the back for, as you say, passing for passing's sake.
Yeah, and it's players, it looks to me that players will get drilled into them, like, don't lose the ball. Whatever you do, don't lose the ball, which I get, obviously. You know, you need to keep the ball. If you've got the ball, the opposition can't score. But if it's just not going anywhere, then teams like Dundee coming to Ireland are going to be really happy with that. They're going to surrender 80% possession. They don't care if they get away with a point like they did yesterday. And we have to get away from it. You can hammer it home as much as you want, trying to say to people, look, Scottish football might not be very technically good. Some of the stadiums might be falling apart and all the rest of it. And, you know, the refs are amateur and everything else. But these opposition teams that are coming to Ibrox, they're going to be well organised, they're going to be fit, and they're going to be physical. And they're going to be full of big guys just heading the ball away. And a lot of the time, certainly, you know, people looking at Scottish football from England, it's like, yeah, but it's still pretty shite though, isn't it? Scottish football is pretty shite, isn't it? And you go, well, to some extent, no, because it's a difficult thing. It's 200 miles an hour and you've got to get used to that. And I still just think we've got players that are sitting there going, well, we've got better players than them, so this will work. You know, we'll somehow do it because we've got better players, we've got more expensive players. They'll somehow find a way to do it. And that's not an approach. You know, you can't just rely on players to just go out there and work it out. You need to work on your patterns of play, who's going to be where. You hate to bring them into it, but our rivals across the city have been doing it for a good while. You know, they rely on fast swingers getting to the byline and cutting it back. And when they cut it back, they've got a striker in there and their whole midfield are all attacking the box. You saw it today. They scored, two of their centre midfielders scored today. You know, that's what they do. Whereas, how many goals are we going to get from our central midfield three this season? You know, you'd be lucky if it's double figures combined. And that's the point. That's their pattern of play. And that's what people need to try and defend against. Our pattern of play seems to be what? Kind of shuffle it up and try and get Kasama or Antman one-on-one. Okay, fine. And then what? Then try and sling it in and try and get Dessers on it. But domestically, Dessers going to have three centre-halves around him. You know, you've got to think outside the box, pardon the pun, and just be more aggressive and more dynamic moving forward with it. Because other teams are going to come to Ibrox and adopt that precise strategy that Dundee adopted. Right now, I would have no confidence in this team breaking those teams down.
Yeah, and I mean, on a slightly positive note, I did feel that we actually played well as soon as the penalty was awarded. And then obviously we had the offside goal. But, you know, for that 7 minutes of injury time, you know, we did create a couple of chances. We were more aggressive, high energy. And the system was tinkered a wee bit. But then again, he kind of had to do that because Gigo was sent off. And we'll come to that in a few moments. But, you know, he brought on Danilo as well. And when he was bringing Danilo on, I was saying, please, God, put him up with Dessers. Do not just do a straight swap here. Because for me, Danilo, he can't play up front on his own. He can't do that. He needs someone to play off of. For £6 million, he's not been good enough, sadly. I do think he can offer something, maybe coming off the bench or playing with somebody now and again, but he's not going to be your main number nine. But we did create those chances after that penalty. You know, Kasama has a couple of tricky moments as well. We obviously scored the Dessers goal, which was offside. But, you know, we started to do that then. But, you know, why is it it's taken us 92 minutes to kick into gear at home to Dundee? It's not acceptable.
Again, I've used the term red flag multiple times already tonight, but that's another one.
I know.
You know,
a
team that only looks up for it once they go behind. We saw it multiple times last season under different managers. You know, they can't quite get it. And it's weird because a lot of the players are different. You know, I think there was six new signings started yesterday. You know, this is Russell Martin's team by the majority. It just baffles me how that we still don't seem to have done any work in how to break down a low block at all. For me, it's two up front. You know, you need to put an extra man up front, whether it's Danilo or Igaman, whoever he is these days. You know, if team's going to come in with 10 men behind the ball and playing five at the back, you just have to gamble and go with an extra striker, because it's no use trying to play the ball into feet up to Dessers when he's got three centre-halves off his backside. That was the only kind of joy, apart from Kasama's effort, that we got in the first half. There was a couple of balls we threaded into Dessers' feet, but he's got the centre-half right behind him, holding on to him. And he did try and sort of turn him a couple of times and sort of flick it round, didn't come off. but it looked like the only out ball that we had in that first half. And obviously we scored, the late goal we scored was from that, you know, a ball straight into Dessers' feet. Okay, he was offside. And if that's the plan, fine, but you need to give him some help, or whoever the striker is, you need to give him some help if that's the way you're going to try and play. So it's really just difficult to see how this goes. But that was a catastrophic result for Russell Martin yesterday. There's no two ways about it. You know, I said it last time I was on, I think he would have got away with being knocked out by Panathinaikos because it's a big turnover and a new team and it was a tough draw and all the rest of it. He'd have got away with that, but he did well to get through it. But I think I said at the time, he will not get away with a poor start domestically. And again, drew with Motherwell. Again, because the Pilsen was so good, he almost did get away with it because everyone's kind of right, okay, now this is it. We've got Gazamas, Clay and Antman's here. This is his team now. This is it. This now we're firing. And then that happens yesterday. And it's just, you know, setback after setback. And it's difficult now to see how we get through another setback. I hate to be too pessimistic, but that's just the reality of where we are.
Mel, we used the term fed up earlier before we came on, and fans now are just fed up. And I'm the type of guy, Alan, that I like to be upbeat and positive about things. I don't like to jump the gun and, you know, judge things too quickly. But, I mean, there's just so many examples of this happening in the last few years where, you know, I'm going to lay all my cards on the line here. I don't think Russell Martin's going to work out. I'm not going to give the whole, oh, he's not going to see Christmas or Halloween statements or anything like that. But I don't think he's going to work out. The board are obviously going to be patient with him and give him time. But I'm just going to lay a prediction on the now. I don't think it's going to work out. I really hope he proves me wrong. I'm desperate for him and everyone else to prove me wrong. But I just can't see how he can do it. You know, there's as early on as it is in the season, you know, two domestic games, you couldn't have handpicked the first two games better if you ask for it. You know, Motherwell away, Dundee at home, two new managers. You know, Dundee, the supposed whipping boys of the league. And let's make no mistake about it, Dundee are probably going to be in one of the two relegation positions at the end of the season. I mean, they were getting beat off Edinburgh in the cup a few weeks ago at home. I mean, it's embarrassing. Like,
yeah, I mean, we've got. I mean, it's funny saying. At the end of the day, I mean, we shouldn't skip to this chat, right? But they're not going to sack him. Okay, they're not. And the owners are not going to sack. There's no chance of that. Six games into the season. But, you know, there's always a but. We've got Alloa coming up in the cup, and then we've got a home league game against our biggest rivals. Weirdly, I have more faith in this team giving a performance in the Old Firm than I do against Alloa, because Alloa will be that camped on the edge of the box, defended, whereas in the Old Firm game, we'll have space to attack. You know, and it's weird, but if Soar won in either of those games, then it's just going to become unbearable, absolutely unbearable. And again, I don't think for a second the manager will be removed at all at this early stage, but Ibrox will become a really, really difficult place for them. And that's not fair. You don't want that, regardless of the way you feel about managers and what they're doing and everything else. It's horrible. We've seen it with Beale, mainly, and a wee bit with Clement as well. When Ibrox becomes a bit hostile towards the manager, it's not a pleasant place to be. And really worryingly yesterday, you know, after those subs were made, Ibrox was not a pleasant place to be. Because the crowd was so toxic so quickly. Again, is that day trippers? Is that seat sub tickets? It's later kickoffs where people more full of the drink. I don't know, but it doesn't really matter. It was pretty grim there, and that's got to be a massive concern for any of the board that were sitting in that director's box to hear the crowd turn so audibly, so quickly. Again, red flag. I hate to use it again, but it's got to be a red flag for those people in the boardroom.
No, absolutely. I mean, begs the question then, are we building a team that's suitable for Scotland or suitable for Europe?
I think it's
Europe. I mean, there's been this weird, like, see with Clement, instead of like winning domestic games, when he was talking about like targets as such, it was always like, get the wage bill down, develop young players, bring them through, bring guys in the cheap, sell them on the high, make money for the club. Wasn't he about winning the league? Wasn't he winning cups? That's what it seemed to be. So I don't know if maybe Russell Martin's kind of in a similar boat in the sense that instead of being told your KPIs for this season are you need to win every single domestic trophy, it's Well, if we close the gap a wee bit, that's fine. If we win a cup, aye, that would be a good thing. But if we don't, who cares? But if we can get into the Champions League, there's a bunch of money. If you can sell a couple of players, if you can bring in guys like Gassama on the cheap, and then in a year we can sell them for a massive profit, that's great. And for me, if that is the case, that is red flag. But there's a part of me that's thinking that it might be.
It's a fundamental misunderstanding of the dynamics within Scottish football and within Glasgow. The reality is, if we don't win a cup, 99% of the time we know who's going to win it, and that's what we really don't like. If we don't win the league, there's only one other team that's going to win it. So we need to understand that there's more to it than closing a gap and things like that. There's trophy counts, there's bragging rights, all this kind of stuff, and it's all is it all a wee bit petty and all this kind of short term. Yeah, maybe it is, but it counts. And it counts for fans' perception of players and managers and boardrooms and things like that. That these things have to be done. So if I'm not suggesting it is, but if there's been any suggestion to Russell Martin that look, the league's not that important, just try and build something and we'll target sort of 2, 3, 4 years' time, that is completely the wrong approach. Now, I'd be surprised if the 49ers group took that approach, I must say. But it's important that that attitude doesn't start prevailing in the boardroom or in the dressing room, you've got to say. Because Russell Martin was very clear during the summer when he was talking during pre-season. He knows the demands at this club are to win and win all the time and win trophies. And he said he knows that. So he cannot go back on that. I think he's a worry for Russell Martin because I think he's flailing a wee bit already. It's the biggest job he's had by a country mile. Huge scrutiny in the Goldfish Bowl. He told us through pre-season that the atmosphere was great, the buy-in from the guys was great, everybody's listening to what they're doing. As soon as they drop points, they're not listening. Again, red flag when a manager says, "Oh, I'm telling them all the right things, they're just not listening." Day one of the domestic season, he's saying that. So then he fillets them and then drops them, then they come back and nothing's changed. If anything, yesterday was worse. And then he brings on the players he filleted to try and rescue the game, the egos, and you think, I just think he's flailing a bit at the moment and he just needs to take a breath and calm things down. The best way to do that is to qualify for the Champions League and then beat Celtic in the end of the month. That'll buy him some goodwill and some time, and let's hope he can achieve that. Because this at the moment is it feels like things are on a knife edge, and it's absolutely bizarre to be saying that two games into the season,
Yeah, I mean, if we can negotiate the next couple of games in Pilsen and, dare I say it, all Athletic in the Cup, because, I mean, let's be honest, we know what happened the last time you played a lower league in the Cup at Ibrox, and I just seen earlier today, Alloa have won every single game so far this season. So they'll be coming into this game like in a good mood. So, let's not underestimate them. But look, if we do manage to get in, look, I'm very confident that we'll be able to get through on Tuesday and get through against Alloa. But then you've got that massive week where it's Bruges, Celtic, and the thing is, weirdly, I actually think we will qualify for the Champions League. I've just got a feeling that we will. But then
I mean, I
obviously the
think.
Celtic game is massive, and let's be honest, Alan, like, people are saying the league's done already. If we get beat in that Old Firm game, it is done, in my opinion, completely. We're at a point now where maybe if something, weird happens, we can do it, but I can't see it happening. But if we lose the Celtic game, it is completely done. And by the way, Hearts as well, they've started the season very well, two wins. They play in a couple of weekends when we'll have a game postponed against St Mirren. I think they're at home to Motherwell. And then the day before the Old Firm game, they're away to Livingston. They're two games that Hearts should probably be winning. So if we end up getting beat off Celtic and Hearts win their two games, we're not just 10 points behind Celtic, we're 10 points behind Hearts. And if that situation does arise, I actually think we could be wanting a fight for second place, never mind first place.
Yeah, well, I saw a tweet earlier today. It said Paddy Power have already paid out on the league, and one of my mates replied with that saying that's a bit harsh on Hearts, which kind of shows you what the atmosphere is like at the moment. But look, it's one of these things. There's a long way to go. There's a hell of a lot of points still to be won and lost. We saw it last season. Beating Celtic wasn't the problem. It was the other humdrum games that we struggled with. So it really wouldn't surprise me if they come out and attack us. And we can get our passing game together, we will definitely make chances, and we're capable of beating them. but we're also absolutely capable of beating them. And then the week after, you know, losing away to, you know, Dundee United or something like that, that is absolutely within the wheelhouse of this Rangers team and this Rangers management. So that's where the, I just feel it's going to be a roller coaster this season. It's a bit difficult because I think the idea of bringing in someone like Russell Martin that plays fast, aggressive, attacking football was that we'd be able to sort of steamroll our sides, you know, start really well. And okay, we might concede a few goals and all the rest of it. The Southampton fans' prevailing view was always, look, you'll score some absolute crackers, but you'll concede some absolute nightmares as well. And we all hoped, you know, if we're winning games 4-2 or, you know, 3-2 or 5-2 and things like that, you'd be okay with that. You're seeing good football and you're winning games. But at the moment, we're not winning games and we're not seeing good football either. And that's the polar opposite of what we were promised with Russell Martin. Now, I need to caveat that by saying, I think he signed some decent players. You know, Gassama and Antman look decent. I think Asgard, again, not kicked a ball yet, of course, but he comes with really highly rated. Giga's settled in, no problem. And it looks like the boy Mendy's coming in as well. So, you know, there's some promising signings in there, signings that are on the younger side of things. So there's promise there to be worked with. But the reality is you don't get time in Glasgow. People keep saying it's going to take time. He's not going to get time, so stop asking it. You know, every time someone mentions that, this will take time to develop, my first instinct is, but you're not going to get it. You can keep asking for it as much as you want, it's not going to happen. So pragmatism will need to prevail at certain points. We might need to abandon the ideal. We might need to abandon the philosophy for certain games. Go two up front, go a bit more direct, and just try and bag the points. Because that's what wins you titles in these leagues. We had horrible situations last season where Clement was talking about XG. You know, we dropped points. Now, look, the XG was this, the XG was that. Possession was this, possession was that. Mm-hmm. Harks back to the old Craig Brown Scotland days. Yeah, we beat them on throw-ins. You know, it's like, you know, these stats are meaningless when you drop points. Absolutely meaningless. And apart from anything else, our XG so far this season has been absolutely dismal, if you're into that kind of thing. So some of the worst. I think the Motherwell game might have been the worst since the stats started being recorded. So, you know, I went off on a complete tangent there, I do apologise, but the league isn't over in my view. There's a lot to be done and, you know, things will swing back and forth, but it's on a knife edge, unfortunately. It's just a concern of itself.
Yeah. I've just had a wee look at the comment. A few people mentioning my wee remarks about I think we'll qualify for the Champions League and don't underestimate Bruges. They're a good team. I know they're a good team and I'm not underestimating them.
You basically said don't underestimate Alloa and then said, but I think we'll beat
Well, Brown. I know.
Do you know what I mean? So this is what Rangers Football Club does to a rational person, you know, makes them say things like that.
But I'm glad you're actually saying that I'm a rational person. You're the first person to say that to me in my life. But I'm not underestimating Bruges. I'm not basing the feeling on any sort of like stats or whatever. It's just a feeling that I've got that will qualify, right? Right, we need to speak about before we do that, you mentioned the manager's comments there. One thing that kind of struck me as well, you've mentioned his former clubs. I think he said something yesterday about, you know, and my other clubs that I've been at, there's maybe been slow starts, but, you know, we get through them and eventually it's so worth it in the end and all that. That's all well and good, but I think that is a real danger when he's using, you know, what was it, Swansea, Southampton, MK Dons. He's almost trying to say, I've done this at these clubs. I am now able to replicate it at Rangers. You can't do that, I don't think. And I think even with the 49ers group coming in, and yeah, we know they're supposed to be really serious guys, they're no stupid. You know, they've got great models that work elsewhere. But again, do they maybe think, or is there a part of them that thinks that they can just use the same models that, for example, they're using in Leeds for the Championship and then replicate it up here in Scotland? Because I think that's a bit of a worry as well if they think that, because you can't, everything has its own sort of nuance, its own individual situation. And whether the owners are doing it or not, you know, that's by the by, we'll never know. But I think with Russell Martin, I do genuinely think that's something that he's doing where he's saying, I have done this elsewhere, it has worked elsewhere, so I'm just going to do the exact same here in Scotland and it'll work. And I think if you're going with that mentality, that red flag again.
Yeah, and that's what worries me, and I was kind of hinting at it earlier. You know, our head of football and our head of recruitment, they're both from Everton, you know, both scousers, they both know each other. Again, when was the last time those boys watched a Dundee game? You know, are they just coming up thinking, well, someone like Joe Rothwell, you know, he got a few man of the matches in the Championship, so he'll absolutely stroll the Scottish League. Scottish League's rotten outside Rangers and Celtic. He'll stroll it. You know, are they thinking that? Maybe I'm being unfair, but, you know, all the targets, again, we're targeting younger players from the EFL. Again, we've got the young boy in Spurs from loan, kind of development loans and things like that. I just think we lack quality. You know, we need to target assured quality signings. I don't think it's any coincidence that the signing that looks the most capable so far has been Giga, because he is, you know, he's Wolves signed him for 8 million. He played in the Champions League for Red Star. He's got a bit of experience. He's, you know, he's got a bit of proven quality about him. Whereas the rest of them, someone like Ahrens, you know, Ahrens is that kind of Michael Beale signing that, well, he's really highly rated 5 years ago and he's come off the rails, but we'll rejuvenate him. But those signings really work. That's what we can't, well, we saw it with Butland to an extent as well. Even Sterling, you can say that about. So I just think we need proper quality. And that's what I always hope that the 49ers would bring to us and say, look, we're going to invest in quality additions, guys that come in, hit the ground running. If they're fit, they play and they can deliver. Now, Antman, I think, falls into that category. You know, again, international player, really good record. I think if he's fit, he will play. But we still have major question marks at, you know, left side defence, left back, centre mid for me, centre forward certainly. You know, there's always gaps left to plug. So I just think that's where we need to focus, because the Championship is one of these leagues that, what is it, like 46 games or something like that they play. You know, you can lose 10 games in the Championship and still win it.
Yeah.
Whereas basically in the SPFL, we're playing 38 games and we basically expected to win 35 of them. You know, that's how it goes. The dynamic is completely different. The approach to games is different. The opponents are completely different. You will not get the leeway that you get down south. So if the recruitment team and the management team aren't understanding that, they're going to get a really rude awakening. You know, Russell Martin spent his whole playing career, bar 20 games for us, playing in the English leagues. You know, and his assistants are all from England. We've got the guy sacked from Carlisle's come in as a coach, all this stuff. Do we have proper insight into the Scottish League and how it's going to be? Or are they just assuming St Mirren, never heard of them, they must be rubbish, we'll beat them with better players? Because that's not how football works.
No.
And that's my major concern at the moment. But, you know, again, look, we're bringing in the chap Mendy. He looks decent. I know he doesn't have a lot of experience, but he's a big physical guy, left-footed. Expect that will be the end of the John Souter at left centre back experiment. And, you know, Russell Martin still has time to plug those gaps and really get players in that can do what he wants them to do. But it's still a really trying time.
Yeah. I mean, there does seem to be a sort of English arrogance when it comes to Scottish football. And the thing is, like, in the 90s when, you know, we were signing, or the 80s and the 90s, we were signing, like, you know, guys like Terry Butcher and Chris Woods and stuff like that. I think they probably had that same arrogance coming up as well, but it was guys like Graham Souness, Walter Smith, Jimmy Bell that put them back down to earth and were basically, they taught them the ins and outs of the Scottish game. This is what you can expect. This is that. This is the next thing. And then eventually they got it, very quickly they got it, because they were drilling into them every single day. This is what you need to do at Rangers. See now, I mean, the guys that are coming up, you know, for England, like maybe Asgard or whoever, or Fernandes for Peterborough, they're coming up, and the guys that they're leaning on are guys like Russell Martin, his coaching staff, who, as you say, they have all had the same career as these players that they've brought in England. They've not had that time at a successful Rangers team where they're winning trophies and they know how to navigate Scottish football. So, yeah, again, red flag again, but we'll try and stop using that for now. But it's just a wee sort of point that I felt I would say there. In terms of the actual game again, a couple of big decisions I wanted to talk about. First off, Big Giga's red card. I mean, actually, both the red card and the penalty for me are quite simple and easy decisions. It's just, of course, because it's Rangers that are involved in the decisions that it gets blown all out of proportion. Red card for me, it is a red card. I felt a bit sorry for Giga because Souter is very poor in his position. Ahrens, he's just not busting a gut to get back. And the thing is, if Ahrens had ran a few more yards or was a wee bit faster, it might have just been a yellow because he would have been covering. But let's be honest, Alan, the guy was going to be clean through and goal. it's a goal scoring opportunity for me. It's a card all day long.
Yeah, I mean, it's a red. I'm not arguing about it. As soon as I saw it, I thought it'd be a red. I did feel a bit sorry for Giga. I don't think he makes an attempt to take the guy out. But the striker's clever enough. He runs across him, so he knows as soon as he feels a breath in the back of his neck, he's going down. And obviously, Don Robertson, you know, he's got the red card out before the guy's on the deck. We all know that's going to happen. So I think it was the correct decision against Suter. Again, it's the problem. You're asking Suter to come out and pass the ball, and he's not capable of doing it. You know, certainly not through a five-man midfield. And as soon as we lost it, as you say, Aarons doesn't track his man. Rothwell's really slow to get back. And there was no reaction to it. You know, it's like we lose the ball and we just expect we're about to get it back. And it's Giga that's the fall guy. And obviously now he misses the Old Firm. One thing also I have to say is, from being at the game, you know, as you know, I sit right next to Scott, or just behind Scott, up in the right the front of the club deck.
Christ, I'm lucky.
I know. And, you know, I could see it coming because Jack Butland is still in his box. Whereas my view was always, if you're going to play this hyper-aggressive high-line style, where your centre-half's in the halfway line, is your keeper not meant to be acting as a sweeper?
Yeah, you
know, for that scenario, if your centre-half gives it away unexpectedly, your keeper's there and he can react quickly. Whereas because Butland was way in the box, he was in no man's land, and Giga, you know, he kind of had to take him out. So systems-wise, again, just doesn't seem quite right to me at the moment, because Butland should have been further forward. In terms of the penalty, that's a penalty for me. He's kind of the same idea. I think Gassama's clever, does well to get by him and just sort of cuts across him, initiates the contact and goes down. Again, that's a penalty all day long. And I don't think that any sensible person has any dispute about that. Really well dispatched penalty by Tav, you got to say. Pressure was on. But at that point, it was, at that point, it was just relief around the stadium, you know, because I did not see us scoring from open play whatsoever. You know, we haven't scored from open play in the league so far this season.
That's true. That's true.
And we didn't look like doing it against Dundee, so the penalty was a bit of a godsend.
Yeah, I mean the reaction to the penalty—it's not a surprise, but again, it's so tiresome when you see this all the time. And obviously, when a penalty is given to us in the last minute of the game, you know, to equalise when we're losing, you know, people are going to jump on it anyway. But it's just, again, the sheer volume. It's like people are just making up scenarios in their head. Like, Gassama's the one that touches him. Yeah, Gassama does put his hand back towards, like, the guy's shots. But that's after he's came through the back of him. And there's also a slight touch on the back of Gassama's leg as well. And it's one of these ones where Gassama is really clever. He gets in front of him. He's running at full pace. One slight touch, like the smallest minuscule of touches, it's a penalty. That is the rules. It's a penalty. Doesn't matter whether you take him out full view or you tap him in the shoulder. One touch, he goes down. It's a penalty. End of story. So for anyone to say that isn't a penalty on that, and look, if that happened to Rangers, I'd be annoyed, right? I would be angry, right? But at the same time, the rules are the rules. It is a penalty. But it's just this penalty to Rangers narrative. It's just usual crap. It's just tiresome, and it happens every single season as regular as clockwork. And I mean, to be fair, at least we've been given our first penalty in a game that actually mattered yesterday, and no, like, in a meaningless game against, like, Dundee United in this block.
Well, that's it. I think in terms of last season and this, I think of the 40 games, we've had two penalties. So it's, you know, but it's not like we're relying on them or we're getting a lot. You know, I'd much rather have had a penalty in extra time in the League Cup, if I'm honest. But, you know, let's not nitpick. But no, that's a penalty for me. As you say, he's moving at pace. He does well to come across the defender, and any contact, he's going to go down. It's good attacking play. And that's, you know, it's another tick in the box for Gassama, who I think has looked our best attacker so far this season by a country mile.
Yeah, I think that actually counts as an assist as well. If you win the foul, it leads to a penalty being scored. So it's one for the start lovers anyway. So, I did think Gassama was good again yesterday. He's definitely been the signing of the summer so far. But yeah, just a bit gutted about Giga's one because, as you say, out the Old Firm game, maybe that's why the deal for Mendy's been sort of fast-tracked, because we need to try and get him in and up to speed before then.
What would you do? I mean, we shouldn't, but fast forward then. We know it's a headache that's coming down the road, so what's your defence for the Old Firm game?
Christ. The thing is, I'm uncomfortable with Fernandes playing because, it's Fernandes, but I'm also uncomfortable with Max Aarons playing because I was thinking maybe even Tavin Suter at centre back if Mendy doesn't hit the ground running, but it'll either be
Well, seemingly
Mendy.
Russell Martin's only got one way of playing. That's what
Well,
all the Southampton fans and Swansea fans have told us. He
yeah.
sticks to his system, even when his team are getting absolutely battered in the Premiership and with Southampton, he plays the same way. So we've got to assume it's going to be a back four.
Yeah, it will be. I don't think he'll change it. I mean, it will be whoever's better at the time between Mendy and Fernandes, I suppose, with Suter.
Yeah, I think if, I think would I think I'd probably put Suter and Mendy in. If he's a left-sided with Jay
Yeah.
and
Well, aye, because it'll be interesting to see Suter actually play on his right side for once.
and I'd probably put Tav at right back. I mean, I know that's an issue with Midas pace, but I think Tav's a much better defender than Aarons is, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
So yeah, sorry, I took us completely off tangent there, but
No,
it's
it's fine.
just Sod's law. It's absolute Sod's law that our best defender by a mile, one of the better signings, the guy that's really impressed, he's out the old firm because John Souter can't pass.
There you go. Usual button to it. I mean, Tav, again, that's an interesting point that I just want to pick up on because as much as I've been very critical of him, certainly the last one or two seasons. And I do believe if you get a bid for him, you should go and replace him with someone capable. However, Max Aarons, certainly in the first few games, he is nowhere near his level. Like, absolutely nowhere near Tav's level. And that's worrying. We've got three right backs at Rangers, all who should be pretty capable. One is just injured all the time in Sterling. And now it looks as if the other one in Aarons just can't defend at all, which, at least Tav. To be fair to Tavi's defending has improved the last few years. It's never going to be perfect, but it has gotten better. But at least he still offers you that going forward. And I mean, to be
I
fair to him,
agree.
he has scored all of our domestic goals this season. But Aarons can't even really do that going forward either. I mean, he's made a couple of decent passes, to be fair. But I mean, Tav can dig you out of holes with set pieces
I mean,
and stuff like that, at least.
I think that's, I saw the stat after the first part. Tav had the most touches of any Rangers player. And you saw yesterday, we bring him on and we rely on him to get us up the pitch when we need a goal. And again, he's putting cross the crosses weren't great to be honest, but he had nothing to aim for really. And a couple of balls in and around the box. And so we still rely on him. At
Yeah.
age 33, that's the kind of role he should be playing. Playing a handful of games and coming on for 20 minutes, that's where he should be. He's still capable, as you say, he's levels above Aarons. I mean, I don't think again, no reasonable observer can dispute that. He's levels above Aarons. But we just need to use him properly. We can't get 55 games out of him again. That's not fair on him. I always think Tav's problem defence-wise is defending across to the back post.
Yeah.
That's always been his problem. See, one-on-one defending where he's just taking on a winger. He's good
He's
at it.
pretty
You
decent,
saw it
yeah.
against Nico Williams last season in the European games. He defended Williams really, really well. And everyone's saying, "Oh, he's going to get minced." He didn't get by him once. Not really. And it was obviously across in the dying minutes of the second leg. Okay, he lost him and they put in Kelly, should have done better, but that's where the issue is. It's those crosses to the back post. It's not one-on-one defending down the wing in my view. But nevertheless, look, we're getting off tangent, but this is the problem. Have we upgraded in positions? Is Aarons better than Tav? Not for me. Is Rothwell better than Raskin? Not for me. And that's a problem. Again, is Fernandes better than Suter? Again, jury's out. Will Mendy be better than Suter? Will Mendy be better than Jeffte? Jury's out. Again, Asgard, where's he going to play now? Is he going to take their sort of right-sided role at Diamandis? It's just difficult to know. And there's all sorts of question marks that still exist because we haven't seen some of these players yet, through no fault of Russell Martin, we should say. Yeah, there's a lot of work needing done, a lot of improvement needing done as well.
Yep, certainly is. Finally, then we do have a game on Tuesday, the second leg in Pilsen. It was a game that I actually thought we would be quite comfortable in until yesterday. I mean, surely even we can't mess this up, Alan. Surely even Rangers can't mess this up. I actually said that the game in Greece, I said that would have been a drab 0-0 draw. I was kind of right. It was a one each draw. I think we might just get beat like 1-0 or something on Tuesday. Just take it and get through the next round. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I mean, the approach has got to be right. You know, if it was Football Manager, I would be going three at the back or five at the back and just doing, you know, defensive long ball and try and use pace in the counter attack. We know Russell Martin's not going to do that. It's not his style. He knows, we know he's still going to try and pass it around, pass it out from the back. I think we'll get through, you know, massive, massive tempting fate, but I didn't think Pilsen looked brilliant. And I think 3-0 down, you know, it's a really comfy lead. They'll know if we score the first goal, then it's over. So I think we'll have enough to get through. I think I'd like to see a kind of three at the back or five at the back or something like that. Just keep it tight. There's no point. Don't try and do anything heroic. No risky passes in the edge of your box. Don't get your goalkeeper passing it in and around his own box and things like that. Just get it up the park. Get away from your goal. You're 3-0 up. No need to take risks. I suspect it'll be a bit more heart and mouth than that if they come out the traps flying. But again, I think we'll have enough to get through the tie.
Yeah, I do think we'll be fine. What changes would you make? Not tactically, but in terms of the personnel?
Probably not too many, to be honest. Given that we've got Alloa on Saturday, that's when I'd make a whole raft of changes ahead of the Old Firm. But again, I'd put Raskin in for Rothwell. Again, I just think we need Raskin's dynamism and his movement. I think he's just much better player in there. I'd put Diamandi on his right side. I would stick with Antwerp and Gassama. Again, I'd ideally want to play Eggeman away from home up front on his own, but I don't think he's going to be fit. And even if he was able to travel, he wouldn't be match fit, so I wouldn't start him. So I probably would stick with Dessers, to be honest, as the best for the role. But other than that, I would keep it relatively the same. I probably would keep it Aarons at right back as well. I probably would, to be honest. And Giga and Suter and JFD, I'd keep JFD in as well. He's by far the best option we have at left back at the moment.
I think for me, I'd bring Tab back in, to be honest, ahead of Aarons. I think the rest of the the back line should stay the same. I'd maybe go with the sort of the midfield that he started with against Panathinaikos, Rothwell, Raskin and Diamandi. As much as there maybe isn't a lot of dynamism there, I do think it just keeps things a wee bit more tighter. And it'd be good to give Lyle Cameron a bit of a rest as well, because I think he was looking a wee bit leggy at points yesterday. Up front, I think probably Finlay Curtis for Antman. I think he did look just a wee bit too leggy on Saturday and maybe wasn't able to go on all cylinders. Although, again, you're right about playing Allah, so we could just go ahead with the same team, give it everything you've got in this game, and then touch wood, make all the changes for the game on Saturday, and that's when you get your rest in. But it'll be interesting to see what the manager does anyway.
Yeah, no, would you not start Cortez?
No. No.
I mean, that's wild. I mean, it just occurred to me just when I was just looking
at
he's
a Rangers
the
player.
Pod. Oh. You know, that's Danilo and Cortez on the bench. That's 10 million in
10
feet.
Million. Yeah,
God knows how much in wages, and you know, I would move on Danilo if we possibly could, and I would certainly loan out Cortez because I don't think we get any transfer bids for him. But you know, that's 10 million we spent only a couple of years ago. You know, it's absolutely mad that we've still got those kind of fees and we're just not utilising the players at all. I mean, that's Curtis coming on ahead of Cortez again, which just tells you what the manager thinks of him. I mean, it's absolutely brutal.
He has someone, though, Cortez, that Russell Martin's name checked a couple of times in a positive way.
Yeah.
But weirdly, he's not played him. And he's done that with a few players. It's like, I think he's name checked at like Dow a few times, Cortez, about how hard he's training and how hard he's running. Josh Gentles as well. Like, it was full of praise for him in pre-season. But it's quite obvious that none of these guys, and I know people are saying, oh, you know, he's Dow's son and Dow's his son and stuff like that. But, I mean, as soon as Ant-Man was in, Dill was right out the team straight away, even though Antman hadn't trained. So he obviously can't rate him that highly if he's doing that.
Yeah.
But these guys that he's name checking in a positive way, he's not getting them any game time, which I do find a bit odd. But
maybe he's maybe trying to sort of market them a wee bit, put them in the shop window. Apart from
Gerald, used to do it with like Greg Docherty all the time. It was all Doc, that's Doc, right? And you're like, well, play him then.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of these things that the whole Dowell situation is I think it's just a symptom of where the fans are at the moment. I feel sorry for Dowell. I mean, he's not a player that I think can contribute going forward. I hate that issue of booing players coming on. I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous. It's reductive. It doesn't serve a purpose. But again, I think it's just a symptom of the fans' general attitude at the moment. Because we've seen players get, Dessers has got it, Lammers had it as well. And we've even seen, we saw it the other season, a fan at the front gates accosting Tav, and Barisic and Butland have been abused by fans outside the stadium and stuff. And it's a real negative sort of insidiousness that exists within the support at the moment that we need to get rid of quickly. Because if we're asking these players to pull their boots up and the management to sort it out, the fans need to play their part as well. And that doesn't help at all. In terms of assisting the players on the pitch, Ibrox needs to be a home and where you get that extra bit of room from the fans. But at the moment, it's the opposite of that. And that's something that needs to change quickly, along with everything else we've been critical of tonight.
I know, I mean, the Dowell stuff for me just didn't sit right with me. And again, there's some people that are saying he was booing, or the fans were booing the manager's decision. I mean, I don't know. I do think some were genuinely booing Dowell. Some might have been booing the decision as well. But I mean, Kieran Dowell, he's one of the guys where I don't rate him at all. I don't think he's a good player. I don't think he's done anything for Rangers and he will do anything for Rangers. But, I don't think he intentionally goes out his way to be rubbish or anything like that. I mean, he has a symptom. He is not the cause of a lot of things. As you say, he is a symptom. But in terms of Kieran Dowell problems, I mean, that is like way down on the list of issues happening at the club. Hopefully he won't be an issue for much longer. Hopefully, Birmingham or somebody can come in for him and he can be gone. And I think that'll be best for him personally as well. But, it's one of the ones where I hate, because fans do spend their money and they're entitled, you are entitled to an opinion, but at the same time, it doesn't sit right with me doing that, booing individual players, more so when all you can really accuse him of is being a bad player. It's not as if, he's done like something completely outlandish or abrasive that's really, really, really cost the team. He's just not a very good player. But, as you say, it's a symptom of where the fans are at the moment. We're just fed up.
Well, we'll all enjoy when he scores the winner on Tuesday night.
Aye. That's a good prediction then. So what are you saying, 1-0 Dowell?
I've seen 1-0 Dowell on Tuesday. Someone check the odds on that and message me so that I can put some money on it. Because now that I've said it, I have to put money on it. Because if it happens, I'm going to feel like a right chump.
I'll definitely take it. I think it'll be like a 1-0 defeat. Take the 1-0 defeat and run away back to Glasgow and be ready for this easy game against Bruges, who, we're underestimating so much. But no, that was it was a good discussion, Alan. Good to have you on, despite the circumstances. We'll be joined by Ben and Colin on Friday. We'll be reviewing the game in Pilsen and looking forward to that cup tie against Alloa as well. All that's left to do now is thank you guys at home for watching. As I say, we're live on YouTube tonight. And we'll be on all of our usual podcast providers in the coming hours as well, if you've missed anything. And thanks to Alan for joining me, mate. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, good to see you again, mate. Take care.
You as well. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.